Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for another time of impartation, time with you, time with your spirit. We bless you, God, for your presence here. And we acknowledge that you are the center of our lives, of our existence, of all that we are. Tonight we bless you and glorify you. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you speak to us again. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There's a song I want us to run through. Title of the song is Mighty to Save. Since it's a month of outreach and fruitfulness, I think that a song like that is very relevant. Some of you may know it. Some of you are a generation, or you belong to a generation that doesn't know such songs, but you can learn it and pick it up. The Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. So if it's a new song to you, you can't sing it, you can't learn it, and you can't sing it. Anytime Shatawale releases, you tend to know the lyrics. Anytime Stoneboy releases, you tend to know the lyrics. I don't see why you cannot learn certain songs, spiritual songs, gospel songs, songs that minister life to the hearers. Hallelujah. So it says, everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of the nation. Let's sing it again from the top. Everyone needs compassion.
Everyone needs compassion and love that's never failing.
Oh, yeah.
Let mercy fall on me.
And
everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of the nation.
Sake, I want us to run through it again. Everyone needs compassion. That's true.
Everyone needs compassion and love that's never failing.
Oh, yes.
Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior.
Oh, yes.
Of a nation.
And there's a chorus that goes like the Savior.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the
Savior. He can move the mountains.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God. is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Forever,
offer of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Sing again, Savior.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, offer of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Oh, yeah. There's a second verse that says, don't take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. So take me
as you find me, all my fears and failures.
And fill my life again.
And fill my life again.
I give my life.
I give my life to follow everything I believe in.
Now I surrender.
Now I surrender.
So take me as you find me. Let's do it one more time. Tell the Lord tonight.
So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures.
And fill my life again.
And fill my life again.
Oh, yeah.
I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
You can move the mountains. Said
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior,
He can move the mountain.
My God is mighty.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Forever,
author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquers the grave.
Shine your light, yes.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. Sing it for the glory of the risen King.
What's His name?
Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
What's His name?
Jesus, shine a light and let the whole world sing. Singing for the glory of the risen King.
Jesus, one more time.
Jesus, shine a light and let the whole world see.
Will you sing it?
For the glory of the risen King.
Savior, He can move the mountains.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Forever,
forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Savior,
Savior, He can move the mountain.
My God is mighty.
My God is mighty to save.
that he is.
He is mighty to save.
Forever.
Forever.
Oh, he rose.
He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Oh, hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. How many truly believe that our God is mighty to save? And that's what we are counting on. That's what we are trusting in during this month of outreach and fruitfulness, that God is going to save some souls. Hallelujah. Because only He can save. The Bible says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for Thou art my praise." And we bless the Lord for tonight. Amen. Well, last week I started a series on reproducing for Christ. And I mentioned to you that I reminded you, of course, that our theme for the year is rooted in Christ, reproducing for Christ. And during the early part of the year, right from the 31st watch night service, so the first couple of weeks in the year, I think about 6 weeks, I shared with you on rooted in Christ. But since we are in the month of outreach and fruitfulness, it makes sense to me to talk to you about reproducing for Christ, because that is what it entails to reproduce for Christ. And I started off with a series, and I talked to you about the call to reproduce. Is that not so? Yeah, so I shared with you on the call to reproduce. And I mentioned to you that if you read Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, what we call the Great Commission is actually a call to reproduce. All right? Because Jesus gave the instruction that we should go out into all the world. Well, that's actually the Mark version. But in the Matthew version, he said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then he went on and said again that, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." So that instruction to go and make disciples is an instruction or a call to reproduce. Amen. And I explained to you that to reproduce means to produce again, to multiply or create something similar to the original. I explained to you that if you look at creation, from the very beginning, God had a purpose of reproduction instilled in every living creature. So if you read Genesis chapter 1, from the point where he made the trees, the plants, the vegetations, the seeds, the fruits, he gave a command that they should reproduce after their own kind. Then, after he created the fishes of the sea, the birds in the air, that one too, he gave an instruction that they should reproduce after their own kind and they should multiply. Similar thing with the animals. The ones who walk, the ones who crawl, the ones who skip, all of them were given an instruction to reproduce. And then when it came to God's masterpiece, which is us humanity, he gave a similar instruction: be fruitful and multiply, which is an instruction to reproduce. Amen. So you can see that that is God's divine agenda for his creation.
Now, as it is for his physical creation or creatures, so it is also for the spiritual creatures. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That creature is not really physical, it is spiritual. And the same command goes for the spiritual creation as it went for the physical one. And that is what we see in the Great Commission. That after we are saved, we are under an instruction and a mandate to reproduce and to make disciples of all the nations. So, I explained a few things to you that from the very beginning, God designed that every living thing should reproduce. That's the first point I shared with you. Then the second point I shared with you, that Jesus himself set an example of reproduction for us. And what did I mean by that? Now, when Jesus walked the earth, he did a lot of good. He healed a lot of people. He cast out demons out of a lot of people. He showed a lot of kindness. He took people to the restaurant and fed all of them. He did a lot of things. He raised the dead. He showed kindness to people. But you would discover that one of the major things that he did was that he appointed some disciples to himself, that they will be with him. And what he did was that he reproduced himself in those disciples. After them came some 70 other disciples. Then somewhere along the line, we read about 120 disciples. Then at another time, talked about 500 people. But what Jesus did with the initial 12 was that he reproduced himself in them. And then they too reproduced themselves in others. So that later on, you've had other people coming in. And that is how the gospel got through to us. Hallelujah. So Jesus set an example of reproduction for us, that you and I also, as we have been saved and as we become disciples, he's expecting us to reproduce other disciples. And I want to emphasize again that it's not just about making converts or winning souls. It hasn't ended there. The instruction actually is to make disciples. And to make disciples calls for reproduction. And that is an instruction that God has given to everyone who is saved. It's not just an instruction to pastors, to prophets, to evangelists, to apostles, and to teachers. Anyone who calls himself by the name of the Lord, and anyone who claims to be born again, is under divine instruction to reproduce. So that is why we need to ask ourselves, are we really doing what Christ saved us to do? And then I think I mentioned to you that we must do all we can to resist the tragedy of spiritual barrenness. So spiritual barrenness is where you are saved, you are born again, but you are not reproducing. You don't have any fruits. It is wilder than not having physical fruits. It's much wilder. And all of us will realize this when we stand before God one day. And I'm sure that before this month will end, I'll be sharing with you on the topic, the judgment for unfruitful Christians. And you see that it's a very wild and frightening thing that we must do everything to avoid. I think that's about it. Did I give you any point four? Nope. I ended at point three. All right. Great. So we are still talking about reproducing for Christ. And today the subtopic is how to reproduce for Christ. How to reproduce for Christ. How to reproduce for Christ. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20 will be our foundational scripture for this series on reproducing for Christ. And the New King James Version says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And this, again, I am emphasizing, is an instruction to reproduce. Amen. Now, Jesus did not call us to be believers alone, but he called us to reproduce and to be disciple makers. Amen. Jesus did not call us, did not save us to be disciples alone, but he called us and saved us to be disciple makers. So every child of God, everyone who is born again, is expected to be a disciple and is also expected to be a disciple maker. Can you say with me, I am a believer and I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and he has called me to be a disciple maker. So I am a believer, I am a disciple, and I am a disciple maker. Amen. So that means that we must get to the place where we ask ourselves this question. Or we should ask ourselves, or we should not ask ourselves this question, are we saved? But we should go beyond that and ask ourselves, are we reproducing for Christ? Because in saving us, yes, he wanted us to experience the benefits of salvation and spend eternity with him in the New Jerusalem. He saved us for that, definitely. But he didn't just save us for that. He also saved us so that we will reproduce for Christ. So a question that we must ask ourselves must not only be, are we saved? But we must ask ourselves, are we reproducing for Christ, or are we disciple makers? So now, how can we reproduce for Christ? How can we reproduce spiritually for Christ? Because that's what we are talking about. We are not talking about physical reproduction. We are talking about spiritual reproduction. The first key to reproducing for Christ is that we must stay connected to Christ. We must stay connected to Christ. If you and I want to reproduce for Christ, then the first key to doing that is that we must stay connected to Christ. Another way of putting this is we must abide in Christ. Look for somebody close to you, tell the person, stay connected to Christ, and tell him or her, abide in Christ. John 15, verse 4 to 5. John 15, verse 4 to 5. It says, John 15, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me means stay connected to me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, or unless it stays connected to the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Next verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. So who is the vine? Jesus is the vine. And who are the branches? We are the branches. He continued and said, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, I want to give you an illustration. I want you to imagine a branch let's say the branch of an orange tree, which has fruits on it. So picture that. Picture that you're seeing an orange tree and it has branches, and those branches have fruits on them. The main reason why the branches have fruits on them is because they are connected to the tree, or to the stem, or to the trunk of the orange tree, and by extension to the roots of the tree. That explains why they have fruits. Any branch that is not connected to the tree cannot produce fruits. So the ability to produce fruits is linked to the connection of the branch to the tree. Hallelujah. So in a similar manner, a Christian, a child of God, cannot reproduce spiritually, cannot bear fruits without a strong connection to Jesus. In other words, without having a strong relationship with Jesus. Because to be connected to Him is to have a strong relationship with Him. And may I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it is one of the main reasons why many Christians are not fruitful and are not reproducing. Because they do not have a strong relationship with Jesus, the one who has the power to make them fruitful. It's one of the main reasons why. So we can say, therefore, that being fruitful is the natural result of being connected to Christ. Or being fruitful is the outcome, is one of the outcomes of being strongly connected to Christ or having a relationship with Him. So if you are a child of God and you are not fruitful and you are not reproducing, one of the questions you should ask yourself: am I strongly connected to Christ? Do I have a strong relationship with Him? You may be saved, all right. You may be born again, all right. But if you haven't developed that relationship with Him, you are not likely to be fruitful and you are not likely to reproduce. And in many of our churches are Christians and believers who are not strongly connected to Christ and are not really abiding in Him. How do we abide in Christ? How do we remain strongly connected to Him? Prayer is one of the things that connects us strongly to God or to Christ. Studying the Word of God, meditating on God's Word, connects us strongly to Christ. Obedience, walking in obedience, striving to walk in obedience, connects us strongly to Christ. Fellowship with God, spending time with God, spending time with the people of God, spending time with the fellowship of believers is another thing that strongly connects us to God. So if we are not strong in these areas, in these things I have mentioned, we will not be strongly connected to Christ. We will not have a strong relationship with Him. And unfortunately, what it will mean is that we will not be fruitful and we will not be reproducing much for Him. Can I have an amen? So the first key to reproducing for Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is that we must stay connected to Christ. Tell somebody again, stay connected to Christ so that you can reproduce for Him. The second key is that we must display the character of Christ in our daily living. If we are going to reproduce for Christ, we must display the character of Christ in our daily living. we must display the character of Christ in our daily living. Would you please turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Display the character of Christ in our daily living. Matthew 5:16, New King James Version. Can we read it together? Ready? Go. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men so that they will do what? So that they may see your good works. They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Another scripture, Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. Philippians 2:15. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. So from these two scriptures, it is abundantly clear that God is expecting us to shine and affect the world in which we live. And we shine by the things we do. And the Bible describes them as good works. Good works. Good works. You see, my friends, I will have you understand that as we go about our daily lives, as we go about our daily lives, like how we live our lives in the community where we live, our neighborhood, as you go about your daily life at the workplace, as you go about your daily life in school or wherever, your daily life, the life that you live on a day-to-day basis, understand that eyes are on you and people are always watching you. Amen. Eyes are always on us and people are always watching us. And do you know that what they think of us and the impression they have of us is based on what they see about us? And they see you first before they hear you. So before you ever open your mouth to tell them about Jesus and share your testimony of salvation with them, they are spying you and they are watching you. So you live in a compound house. How you relate with the people there? When you are provoked, how you respond? When something goes wrong, your reaction? They're always watching. When you are caught unawares, what you do? Like if somebody does something to annoy you or irritate you, how you respond? People are always watching these things. And these things greatly inform what they think of you. Now, if what they see is not good, it is not likely that when you approach them and talk to them about Jesus, they will respond. It is not very likely. Because they cannot match or reconcile what you are saying with what they see about you. As a matter of fact, there are people who are connected to us who will say that if I look at how you are, I don't want to be a Christian. You've quarreled with everybody in the neighborhood. And when you are angry, you can insult well. You know all the major insults in three different languages. In Chi, in Ga, which is the most painful, and then in Ebe. When things are being shared in the house to be done, you never do it. When it's your turn to scrub the bathroom, you don't scrub. When it's your turn to sweep the compound, you don't sweep. And if somebody dares to talk about it and complain about it, the way you would dress the person down. So now when you walk to that person, it is extraordinary outreach effort. Your pastor says you should bring at least two people to church. And you go and see Ajoko, your next door neighbor. Say, Auntie Ajoko, I want to go to church with you on Sunday. She's been looking for an opportunity to say one of two things to you. And what she's going to tell you is that me, I should follow you to your church to go and meet Jesus. You are the one who needs to meet Jesus, not me. Because perhaps Ajoko does not do some of the things you do in the house and in the neighborhood. What am I saying to you, my friends? That if we are going to be able to effectively reproduce for Christ, then we must display the character of Christ in our daily living. Whether eyes are watching or not, whether we are aware if eyes are on us or not, we must display the character of Christ in how we talk, in how we relate with people, in how we make peace, in how we help people. Because the character of Christ is a character of holiness, is a character of gentleness, is a character of kindness, is a character of goodness, is a character of helping people, is a character of compassion. And we cannot effectively reproduce for Christ until on our day-to-day living we are reproducing his character, or we are displaying his character wherever we find ourselves, in the community, at work, at school. Because let's face it, some of us at our workplaces, people do not even know that we are born again. They are not, and they don't know that you are born again, because every bad thing that they are doing, you do some. Every bad attitude that is displayed at the workplace, you are included. When people are rebelling against the boss, you are the leader. Your voice is the loudest. When they go on a looter, you are the one who is leading the jama. So, they don't know. And what they see of you is not something attractive enough to bring them to Christ. And that's why the Bible says we should let our lights shine forth. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Because what they see speaks louder often than what they hear. Have you heard this statement before? Action speaks louder than words. Yeah, that's what it is. What they see speaks volumes. So we cannot reproduce for Christ and be effective in it until we display the character of Christ. Again, I'm not talking about perfection. That's not what I'm talking about. Because if it's about perfection, then none of us qualifies. Because God is working on each and every one of us. But we must see signs and traits of the character of Christ in us. And we must do good works wherever we find ourselves. We must be kind. We must be helpful. We must assist. We must provide solutions. We must do these good things because they witness to people and they speak volumes to them about the God we serve. And there are people who will agree to follow you to church and to follow you into the Christian faith because they have been touched by what they see of you. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to be able to reproduce for Christ, we must display the character of Christ in our daily living. So perhaps the question we must ask ourselves is that when people look at us, what do they see? Ask yourself, when people look at me, what do they see? What do they see? When they look into your eyes, what do they see? Do they see kindness? Do they see love? Do they see compassion? Do they see goodness? Do they see gentleness? Do they see somebody who is ready to help and to make a difference? Is that what they see? And you see, once these things are displayed in us, in our daily living, invariably, it will end up attracting people to our God. There's something about it. It's almost magnetic. Now, when you were walking in today, did you notice that there were a lot of insects out there? Did anybody see that there were a lot of insects? And they are here. One of them almost entered my mouth. I think it did, but I chewed it because it contains vitamins. I'm joking. I don't think I did. But they are around. Now, what is attracting the insects? Say that again. The light. Now, did the light go to them? Did the light go to catch them? No. All the light did was to shine. And they were drawn to the light. And many times, that's what also happens. That there are people who will be drawn to Christ. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't preach. Because there are some people who take sermons like that and turn it into something else, that you don't need to talk to anybody about Jesus. Now, so you are taking the thing to another extreme. Actually, it should complement whatever it is we are doing. But as we let our light shine, it will draw. It will attract people to our God and to our Savior. The third key to reproducing for Christ is that we must lean on the Holy Spirit, or we must depend on the Holy Spirit. We must lean or depend on the Holy Spirit if we are going to be able to effectively reproduce for Christ. We must lean and depend on the Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. Zechariah 4 verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit." John 16, verse 7 to 8. John 16, 7 to 8. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Who is the helper? I cannot hear ya. The Holy Spirit. So that's another name for him, the helper. Then verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Who will convict the world of sin? The Holy Spirit. So now, here is the thing. Reproducing spiritually is not something we can just do by human strength alone. It doesn't just take human strength to win souls and to disciple them. Never make that mistake. And I think that this is the erroneous impression we have, which is why when we reach out to people and they do not respond, we get so discouraged. Because we think that, either consciously or unconsciously, that we are the ones who are saving them. We are not the ones who are saving them. If anybody is going to respond to your preaching and to your witnessing, it's going to take the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one who brings the conviction. He's the one who makes the person see that I am a sinner and I need God in my life. And without the Holy Spirit, nobody can be saved. You and I were saved because we came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and it made us look for help. And when we realized, or we were told, that if we give our lives to Christ, we will be saved, we responded gladly and we were saved in the process. But the person who stirred up that conviction in us is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Which means that there are some things you can do by might, which is physical might. There are some things you can do by power, which is physical power. And there's a place that physical might and power can get you to. But there's another point that when you get there, physical might and power cannot take you across. It takes something else. It takes something supernatural to get to that place. Hallelujah. That is why there are some problems that you may go to the hospital to seek treatment. The doctors may do everything that they can. But there are times when, if the situation is very complex, they do all they can, but they are not able to help you. And when you get to that point, it takes a supernatural intervention. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to be successful in reproducing for Christ, we must lean and depend on the Holy Spirit through and through. Hallelujah. And again, I say to you that, you see, what we do in witnessing to people and reaching out to them is planting the word of God and watering the word of God. But the increase at the end of the day, it comes from God. He's the one who brings the increase. So we must focus on planting. We must focus on watering. And allow God to do only what he can do, which is to bring about the increase. So there must be a partnership. There must be a cooperation with the Holy Spirit in order to be successful in reproducing for Christ. Amen. All right, we are getting there. Number four. The fourth key to reproducing for Christ is that we must develop a heart of compassion for the lost. We must develop a heart of compassion for the lost. We must develop a heart of compassion for the lost if we are going to be successful in reproducing for Christ. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. But when he saw the multitudes, what happened? He was moved with compassion for them. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Without compassion, you see here with Jesus that he was moved with compassion when he saw the people. One of the traits or the attributes you see with Jesus was his compassion for people. And compassion, ladies and gentlemen, is a deep, tender love that moves a person to act for the good of others. Compassion is a deep, tender love that moves somebody to act for the good of others. That's compassion, which is different from sympathy. Because you can sympathize with somebody, but it may not move you to do anything for the person. But usually, if it is compassion, you don't just sympathize, but you move beyond that to do something to help the person. And can I suggest something to you this evening? One of the reasons why many believers are not fruitful and are not reproducing for Christ is because we lack compassion. That's one of the reasons. We don't care. We don't feel anything for the people out there who are lost. Pardon my French, we don't give a damn about what is happening to them. It's like they can go to hell. If they don't have sense enough to come to Christ, it's unto them. There's no compassion. And ladies and gentlemen, without compassion, we will not be effective in reproducing for Christ. Because we need to feel something for the lost souls out there. When that thing is not there, when that deep, tender love is not there, we just walk by the people day in and day out, and we don't feel anything for them. We don't feel moved to do anything for them. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion for them because he saw the state in which they were. And we have people we interact with, we encounter on a day-to-day basis. We know that they are not saved. We know that they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But there is nothing that moves us. There's no compassion to do anything about their situation. To reach out to them and tell them what Jesus has done for you, and that they can experience sin. There's no compassion. So that's why many believers are silent, because there is no compassion. Now let me ask you something. If you are walking in town and you notice there is an old lady walking in front of you, and the old lady slips and falls, what will you do? Honestly, what will you do? How many will try and do something about it to help lift her up? You're sure that that's what you will do? All right. So what do you think of somebody who is walking behind the old lady, and the old lady trips and falls, and the person just looks at her and walks away? How would you describe such a person? Give me some adjectives. What's that? Heartless. Heartless. How else will you describe her? Wicked. What other words will you use to describe such a person? Oh, come on, give me some more words. Mindset. Evil. Mindset says evil. So how many words have you given me? Three. Heartless, wicked, evil. Maybe you should say it in chi. Because I think the chi one, which is wicked. Alright. Onyi ehumobor. What is ehumobor in English? Pity or compassion or compassion. Alright. Should I tell you something that should make all of us uncomfortable? All those words that we used can be applied to us. Now, do you see the speed with which you gave me the adjectives? Because it hasn't occurred to us that they apply to us. Which is why perhaps there is so severe, that's why there is a severe judgment for those who don't show compassion. And I told you that I'll share a message with you about the judgments for unfruitful Christians. And one of the reasons why they are not fruitful is because they don't have compassion, which is the point that we are making here. Number five. And I'll end with that. There are 7 points. Maybe I'll give you the other two. The fifth key to reproducing for Christ is that we must boldly and simply share the message of Christ. To reproduce for Christ, we must boldly and simply share the message of Christ. And I said earlier on that nobody should say that we don't need to share the message or open our mouths to say anything to anybody about giving their lives to Christ. That they can just look at how we are and they will be saved. But if you read Romans chapter 10 verse 14 to 15, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher?" So there's a need for somebody to preach the good news. So the Bible says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." So one of the surest ways, which is God's prescribed way for people coming to him, is by somebody telling them. So yes, by your life, by displaying the character of Christ, you attract people. But you cannot do away with talking to them and telling them about Jesus and sharing the good news with them. And we must learn to boldly and simply. You don't have to go to Bible school to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. And when I say simply, just tell them what Jesus has done for you. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? And sometimes you should think about how people are able to boldly do outrageous things and they are not ashamed. So why are you ashamed if you have to approach somebody and tell the person about Jesus? Why? Why the fear? Why the apprehension? So if we are going to be able to reproduce for Christ, we have to boldly and simply share the message of Christ. And that is our calling, to be witnesses. Every one of us, not just some, every one of us is supposed to get to that place in our Christian walk where constantly and regularly, as a feature of our lives, we boldly and simply share the message of Christ. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, I shared with you the story of the Samaritan woman. And this is a woman who had a lot of issues and had a lot of problems. But after she encountered Jesus, she ran back to her village and told them about her experience with him. And through her testimony and through her witness, almost the entire village was saved. So I preached to you a sermon I titled the woman who saved her village, her entire village. And what did she do? She didn't have to go through any training or whatever. She just simply shared. She gathered courage and ran back to her people to tell them about this Messiah that she had encountered. And the sixth key is we must help converts grow in their faith and become disciples. If we are going to reproduce for Christ, we must help converts grow in their faith and become disciples. We must help converts grow in their faith and become disciples. And the last one, we must be willing to make sacrifices for Christ. We must be willing to make sacrifices for Christ if we are going to be effective in reproducing for Him. I mean, without sacrifices, we will not be able to reproduce for Christ. To be an effective witness for Jesus and to be a disciple maker, you make sacrifices. You got to sacrifice your time. You are going to have to sacrifice your energy. You know? And to take care of people, sometimes you have to sacrifice your money. That's why Jesus said in John 12:24, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. The dying is the sacrifice bit. And that thing that he said it about himself. But because we are to be like our master, it means that if we are going to reproduce and be fruitful in this Christian experience, we are going to have to make some sacrifices. And that is what many of us are not willing to do. Like if you take this extraordinary outreach effort that we are making so much noise about. If you're going to have to bring somebody to church, you may have to pay for the person to bring the person to church. Pay in and pay out. A sacrifice. It may mean that you would have to skip the bus that you usually come with, because the person is not ready and everything. So you have to go get the person and everything. It's sacrifice. You got to sacrifice your time. Sometimes you have to sacrifice your comfort in order to be able to reproduce for Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, these are seven keys to reproducing for Christ. And I pray that we have learned something. And I pray that we will not be hearers only, but everything that we've heard today, we will meditate on them, we will reflect on them, and allow the Holy Spirit to help us to apply these things to our lives, so that we will become major disciple makers for Christ Jesus, reproducing so many people for Him. May God help us all. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord and bless His name. All right. Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your word. Give us deeper understanding. Help us to apply the word to our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.